Let's turn our Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We can come before you into your presence, and we can pray and read your word. And I just pray that your presence would manifest itself, God. I thank you that you're already here. Would you come and touch our hearts, God? Encourage us and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There is a very, very simple idea and a message in this passage that we read today. Titus 3, verse 1 through 8. Titus was one of Paul's spiritual children, as one of his disciples, and Titus, we're not exactly sure what church Titus is pastoring when Paul is writing this letter. Titus was a pastor in the city of Corinth and in the city of Crete and also in the city of Dalmatia. So he's probably in one of those cities, and Paul is writing to Titus to teach him, you know, this is what I want you to do as a teacher, as a preacher, as a pastor in that city. Okay, so in this passage that we just read today, verse 1 through 2, basically is what Paul wants Titus to teach his people. Paul saying, Titus, I want you to teach them this. I want you to remind them to be obedient to the rulers, to the authorities, to be ready for every good work, every good deed, to not slander anyone, to be peaceable, meaning to not engage in conflict, to have peace with people, to be gentle, to be considerate of other people. Okay? So verse 1 through 2, basically Paul is saying to Titus, Titus, I want you to teach your church members to do whatever is good. In the NIV version, it says to do whatever is good. In the NASB, it says to do every good deed. It's a very, very simple message. Basically, Paul is saying, hey, as Christians, what these guys need to be reminded of is that they need to be good. They need to do good works. They need to do good deeds. They need to do whatever is good. It's a very, very simple thing. It's not anything crazy. Paul's not saying, Titus, you need to teach your people to be hyper-spiritual and do something crazy. Go out there and, just be, you know, we hear of preachers and stories, and there's a movie that's recently come out called Holy Ghost, right? It's a documentary by the same guys that did Finger of God, Furious Love, and The Father of Lights. And I encourage you to watch it. Actually, I haven't seen it, but I want to watch it, and I think it's probably very good. But there's a scene, there's this guy, his name is Todd White, and he's got long dreadlocks, and he's just a radical man of God, right? So he's out there, at a big concert hall, rock concert. I don't know if you guys have heard of this band called Korn. They used to be very, you know, they're pretty heavy rock music, but the bass player and one of the guitar players actually became born-again Christian. So they are still in the band playing rock concerts. So these two guys and this guy, Todd White, they're in the venue. And as people are walking in to see this like heavy metal rock concert, they're saying, "Excuse me, everyone, before you go into the concert, myself and Brian, the guitar player, and this other bass player, we would like to pray for you. You don't have to be a Christian. We will pray for you to receive the love of God." And we see things like that, and we go, man, that's awesome, right? To do something so wild and radical and crazy for God, for the people, for the world. But Paul's saying, you don't even have to do something crazy. You don't have to do something so radical, something so out there, something so, you know, bold or courageous. Paul's just saying, no, just do good deeds. Be kind to people. Be considerate of others, right? Obey the authorities and the rulers and be a peacemaker. Right? Paul's saying, that's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to teach your people to do. And then if you read on verses 3 through 7, Paul is explaining why, the motivation behind him saying you need to do good deeds. Paul's saying, this is why you should tell them to do good deeds, right? You should tell them to do good deeds, remind them, teach them to do good deeds, and this is why they should do good deeds. Mainly, it's because we have received so much good from God. We have received so much good from God, and that's why we also need to go out into the world and do the same. As we have received so much from the Lord, freely we've received, now freely we give to the world. That's the same kind of grace and kindness that we receive. In verse 3, let's read that. Verse 3, Paul says, "We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." Verse 3 talks of the depravity of man. The depravity of man. Mainly that we really, we cannot and we could not save ourselves. We were enslaved to sin and to lust, and we were deceived, right? We were not in a position to be able to find God. We were hopelessly on our own, right? We were in sin. We were living in sin. We were deceived by sin. We were enslaved by sin. There's no way that we could have come to God on our own. We were helpless in our sinful nature. We were helpless in our sinful state. That's verse 3, the depravity of man. And then verse 4 and 5, he says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us." When the kindness of God and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. In verse 4 and 5, beginning of verse 5, Paul saying, God saved us. You know, we didn't save ourselves. It wasn't that we somehow found God, you know, that we were searching for truth. We were searching for answers, and we were able to find Jesus Christ, and we were able to come to an understanding of his saving grace, and we found him. He's saying, no, that's not how it worked. We were helpless. We were hopeless. There's no way we could have come to God on our own. We were completely deceived and enslaved in sin, hopeless. And God found us, that he appeared to us, and he showed us his grace, and he saved us. I've been also, so this is from my own quiet time, and I've been doing some Old Testament, some New Testament, and I was just reading Hosea, and Hosea has a great picture. You don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4, and this is from the NIV version. And this is God speaking to the Israelites about his love for Israel. And he says this, "I led them, the Israelites, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. And he says this, to them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Right? God says, I bent low to feed this child. Then I picked him up and I lifted him up to my cheek. See, when we come to the Father, just imagine yourself. You know, Jackie's here and his daughter KJ. If you can imagine KJ on the ground trying to look at her father face to face, there's no way that KJ is able to climb up to see Jackie's, you know, to put her cheeks to Jackie's, even if she really, really wants to. There's no way she can try and try and try, but on her strength, on her own, she's not able to climb up and see his face and put her cheek next to his. What does Jackie do? He will bend down and he will pick her up, right? Because there's no way for KJ to come up on it on her own. And so God bends down and he lifted up his people so that we could, you know, he could put his cheek next to theirs. Right? That's the picture of God saving us. We were hopeless. There's no way, right? Even if you think you are a good person, right? That you somehow were you know, you were wise or you were good and you were righteous and you did all the right things. You might think that we had something to do with your own salvation, but that's not the case at all. If it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the kindness and the love of God that appeared to us, and if it wasn't for him saving us and grabbing us out of where we were, no way we would have been saved. So that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying we were depraved. We were hopeless, but God appeared in his love, in his kindness, and he saved us. And if you read on, verse 5 through 7, basically Paul is saying, and it wasn't because of our own righteousness either, right? Not only did we not have anything to do with saving ourselves, but God, Paul is saying, and God didn't save us because we were so good. At least with KJ, KJ is super cute and just adorable. So there's a reason for Jackie to come down and lift her up and put his cheek to her face. With us, Paul's saying, we weren't even adorable or cute or nothing. We were just in sin. We were just depraved. And God, just in his mercy, right? We weren't even doing anything right. Right? Paul says it's not on the basis of our righteousness that God looked down and said, oh man, I want to save these guys. It was just out of his mercy that he came and he saved us. So that's second half of verse 5 through verse 7. Not that we were particularly good. It's not based on our works, but God saved us just because of his mercy. All right, so if you read through that passage, Paul says, you know, God appeared to us in his kindness and love, and he showed his mercy to us, that he was generous with us. And he talks about all the good things that God has done. And then verse 8, he says, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, the gospel that we just looked at, I want you to speak confidently so that, I want you to teach them about the gospel constantly and confidently and just remind them of what God has done so that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. See, if these guys could understand and just, you know, grasp the gospel and what God has done in their lives, the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of God that they have received, the generosity of God. If they would understand that, then they would engage in good deeds. They would do the same in the world. They would show kindness in the workplace. They would be considerate of people. They would be generous to others, right? They would have mercy and make peace with other people. They would forgive other people. If they could really understand what God has done for them. Okay, so that's what Paul's saying. So Paul's saying, teach this so that they will engage in good deeds. Remind them that they have been treated very, very well. They have received undeserved love so that they would go and love others, that they would treat others well also. Okay, so engage in good deeds, do whatever is good. That's what I want to encourage us today, that you would, after EMP, or even at EMP, as you talk to people, that you would engage in good deeds, that you would do whatever is good. It's so simple. Right? It's not some wild, crazy thing that God is asking you to do, but he's just saying, as a Christian, you should just do good. You should be kind to other people. You should live out of the kindness and the mercy that you have received. So as you go to work, I just have two kind of, two aspects or two sides to this idea of doing good. So first one, especially related to our work, the first one, I'll be real quick, the first one is just be different, right? Just first one is basically kind of what we have been talking about. Be different at work. Show kindness to your colleagues, right? I know many of us work in environments that is very cutthroat, very harsh, maybe very money-driven and market-driven, and if you don't add any value to the company, then you are worthless, that kind of thing. But in that environment, be different. Show the world that there is something different about you because you have received the kindness, that you understand the kindness of God, the generosity of God. And so then, do that to other people, right? Make peace with others. Serve others at work. Get them coffee. You know, when you go down to Starbucks, you say, I'll buy you coffee, and you buy them coffee. Do something good. Be considerate. Think about what they would need and what they're going through, and make peace, and don't complain. Right? Don't join. You know, I worked at a school, and sometimes schools are very bad environments. People complain all the time. Teachers complain, and some Christian teachers complain too, and I would think, man, like, do you have to complain so much? Like, it's not a grace to anybody if you do that. So don't complain, you know, demonstrate the peace that you have in your heart. You know, don't stab people behind their back. You know, be honest, be grateful, all that kind of things, right? Be different. I'm not saying be a doormat, right? I have a friend who is just receiving unfair treatment, and we encourage him to get out of that company. Say, no, find another job. But you guys know what I'm saying. In a reasonable setting at your work, be different, right? Show a different kind of a work ethic. That's the first one. The second aspect is, in your work, you can glorify God, right? You don't have to be a pastor to be able to glorify God with your work. To do good work doesn't mean you have to be in ministry and do ministry, but whatever you do, you can do good and glorify God, right? Martin Luther was famous for saying, you know, if you're a shoemaker and you have come to know God, make great shoes. And through that, you will honor God and you will glorify God because you're blessing people with great shoes. Make great furniture, and through that, you're going to honor God, glorify God because you're benefiting other people. You're blessing other people through what you do. All right, so whatever you do, whether you're a recruiter, you are a lawyer, a banker, right? You can do good things. My brother's a recruiter, and I know recruitment sometimes can be seen as not a great industry. It's a deceptive or whatever. But I think, man, recruitment is such a blessing to the company and for the individual, right? You're a conduit of blessing. You're finding someone that is in need of a great job. You're looking at a company that's in need of great people, and you're connecting the two. You're a blessing. Right? You can look at your work that way and approach your work that way instead of just working for yourself to make money, thinking about your career and your promotion. You can think, how can I be a blessing? How can this work be a blessing to other people? Right? And there's much more we can talk about, but I think there's only time for this. So just to recap, firstly, Paul is saying, we have been saved. You know, we have experienced God's kindness, God's mercy, God's grace, God's generosity. So then in the same way, wherever you go, whatever you do, show that kindness and mercy and generosity to other people. Do whatever is good. And related to that, as we talk about doing good deeds. It's not just about, being different because of your relationship with God, but also in your work, you can do good. You know, you can bless the world through the work that you do, right? Even if it's a secular work. So let's just go before the Lord. Pastor Ricky is going to lead us in a song. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. First of all, I just pray for a revelation of the gospel. God, I pray again and again that our hearts would be so moved and so tender when we think about the gospel, that we would just be, we would be so thankful. God, I pray for a revelation in our hearts. God, I pray that our hearts would not grow cold, that we will not take the gospel for granted. God, that we would not take your love and your grace for granted, Lord, that our hearts would very, very be, they would be very, very, just move to the depths of our core at what you have done, that we would realize how hopeless we were before the cross, God, before you appeared. So, Father, I pray for that revelation. And second, I pray that out of that revelation that we would be able to do the same, God, as we go out into the world, especially today, as our people go back to their offices and they do their work, that we would be able to do good, that we would show them that there is something different about us, that we have experienced so much love, and that we would be able to show the same kind of love to the world. And thirdly, that you would show us, God, how to do good, how to glorify you in our work, God, that it's not just about doing Christian things, that's not the only way to do good work, but God, that in our banking, our lawyer, our industry, and whatever else that we do, God, that we can glorify you and we can build your kingdom. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to us, God.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Thank you, God. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer, chemo, or radiation therapy, and recovering from surgery. Let's just pray for healing. Let's pray for strength and encouragement for our friends. Let's pray for others that are in need of healing, but also in need of salvation. Let's just pray for them to experience the kindness, the goodness of God, that that He would save them, that He would reveal Himself to our friends. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that just are going through various infirmities. Let's pray for healing and encouragement for them. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and for God to lead them in the right way. Let's pray for our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for Singapore, SB Singh. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family. And they have recently gone to a new location. So let's pray for God's blessing over there and that they will continue to grow. That they would continue to just experience God's goodness and God's power. The slides have gone missing, but let's pray for SP Indonesia as well. If you can lift up Pastor Salamat, you guys know he usually would do EMP on Friday, but he had a minor surgery just to remove a cyst from his body yesterday. So he's just recovering, and everything went well, so you can just pray that he would be fully healed. And let's pray for SP Indonesia and the sisters at that they would have a powerful and anointed ministry. So let's pray for SP Singapore and SP Indonesia, our Febe ministry. Let's pray for the missions committee. Pray for Pastor Ricky as he is leading the mission committee. And let's pray for the members. Pray for just guidance and wisdom that they will be able to really hear from the Lord with clarity and with conviction, that they will be able to make decisions that will bless God's heart, that they would join God in how He is leading SP to engage in missions work around the world. So let's pray for our friends on this list, the missions committee. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. Pray for each different ministry that has been listed. But let's also pray, we just had our Poverty Sunday last week. And let's pray that that there will be an increase of people signing up for these different ministries. That our church would engage in doing good in this way. Ministering to the poor and getting out of ourselves, our selfishness to give to Hong Kong, give to the people of Hong Kong, the people that are in need. God has a heart for those that are destitute, that are in need. So let's pray that our church would be able to engage in this work. So let's pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for our Friday evening activities. There is SPU tonight, intercessory prayer meeting, and experiencing God that Pastor Sam will be leading. So let's just pray for just a great, great time tonight, that the Spirit of God will be upon each meeting. And actually, our sanctuary is going to be used by a few Korean churches to do like a worship praise night for their youth. So let's just pray the anointing of God, presence of God to be here as well for them. So let's pray for all the stuff happening tonight. Let's pray for our Friday house church, McCain, that they'll have an awesome time today. Thank you, God. We love you. Thank you for this short passage in Titus, just a reminder, God, for us to do every good work, God, to engage in good deeds, Lord, because we have experienced so much goodness from you. Help us, God, today to do whatever is good, God, to be a blessing to others around us, Lord. I thank you, the Holy Spirit, that you are going to be walking with us today. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.